For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Oh, yes, this is Old School. We got a special edition today on a Hump Day Wednesday. Got myself, Jay Foreman. I won't say Hall of Fame. You just call me Jay. To the left of me, you got Sean Callahan. He's joining us from 4 to 5. Huskers Online, Sean Callahan. Sorry about that. And Aaron Davis, public speaker extraordinaire, and he's on the drive with Chris Raff in the morning, 8 to 10, right, AD?
Yes, sir.
We are out at Tanner's. We're live at Tanner's, Bar and Grill at 30th and Yankee Hill from 4 to 6. Again, Sean Callahan is going to be here from 4 to 5 and discuss the season so far and what's ahead. We implore and encourage everybody to come and check us out and check out the delicious burgers and Tanner's Lips and more. And this is Old School with Jay and AD, and we're sponsored by the Mercado Certified Piedmontese, located at 84th and Havelock. We'll get right into it. Sean, I mean, obviously, you know, you do a lot with the Husker, you know, online. But just talk about just the last 2 weeks for you and your experience of what you could see, you know, the rest of the season and how this might even affect the recruiting or, you know, in the best case scenario, help recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, the last 2 weeks, I mean, today I'm actually just starting to feel how much these last two weeks have been. You're just like, I took it's a little bit of a day to breathe a little bit Wednesday, and you're like, man, these have been long weeks. And
right.
Yeah, I think about that night after Georgia Southern, walking back to the Husker Online offices.
Wondering if your phone was going to go off, right?
And I'm just thinking, like, 642 yards, the most ever in Memorial Stadium's history. On the day that, by the way, we honor the scoring explosion, Georgia Southern
they took a page right out. They said, oh, thank you. You know what? We're going to run some of those plays against you. They had their own Urban Fryer, Mike Rozier, and Turner.
You guys are going to wear the jerseys. We're going to do our own tribute.
Yeah.
And
up jumps the cat, right?
It just, you know, you started to hear rumbling Sunday morning. It was what was going down. And you still thought about the money piece. But after a while, you're like, all right. $7.5 million to Nebraska is not enough, not a lot of money, and they move forward with things. And I felt like even that day, you know, the Shenander decision may have already been made by Mickey, but it would have been too much to do.
Too much, too quick.
Yeah. And you needed this bye week. Because I did ask Trev, did anybody else get relieved of their duties besides Coach Frost that day? And he said no. That will be a question for Mickey, though. He's in charge now. And I think, you know, the 642 was probably what got Shenander fired as much as the Oklahoma. I mean, the Oklahoma game, I look at that game, both sides were guilty.
I mean,
the offense had 14 possessions, 12 in a row with no points.
Right.
And many of those were 1 to 3 minute possessions.
Sure.
And you heard Mickey say yesterday, he's like, yeah, we got to do a better job of holding the ball. It's slowing it down. You can't put this Nebraska defense on the field for 14 possessions right
now. No.
Right. I mean, that's any defense. I mean, college football is so much parity, and everybody has good athletes. Because you got to think, these kids that are even going to a Georgia Southern, even a North Dakota, or, you know, you saw Southern Illinois beat Northwestern, and you see it almost every week, App State. The kids that are going to these colleges are still training like the kid. They're doing the same things that the kids are going to Power Five, so they're coming in ready. And sometimes you face a team that's maybe seasoned, like a Georgia and Southern, and so they know
with
how to
play.
With
an elite coach.
Right, with an elite coach, and they know how to play, and he's going to play to their strengths.
I mean, Clay Helton, you got to give that guy credit. I mean, he won a Rose Bowl.
Clay Helton is a guy who I have a ton of respect for. One, coaching at USC through the turmoil that went, how he got the job and how he essentially was always on the hot seat. Then he won the Rose Bowl, and then continued to coach and actually fielded a decent team when he was relieved. But he didn't have to go to a Georgia Southern.
No.
He could have took a coordinator job multiple times. He'd been up for other places.
He had Cliff Kingsbury on his staff for about a week.
Yep. And then, but then he said, you know what? I'm gonna go back, and I'm gonna really show you guys what I can do. Mm-hmm. And it's a leap of faith for him to go down there. It's more risk for him because you could go down there and you have one bad recruiting class. Guys aren't eligible or whatever, and you're done because they don't have the depth and numbers. And so, you know, I think, you know, we were talking before, and I want to ask AD this. I just felt like one of the things that's always really hurt Nebraska, and I really think this since Frank Solis was fired, and a little bit with Bo, but not as much, because I think Bo was real smart how he built his teams. He always had one or two bell cows on offense and one or two on defense. Now, when he was in the Big 12, it was DB heavy, so that was right up his alley. But he always had two guys, and he always kept two in the chamber, too.
They could win with four up front. Right. That was always the key with the Bo defense.
Right, but he always had a rusher, and then he had a eracer, whether it's a safety, a Levante David. Now, he fell into the Levante David, even though he takes credit for it because he ain't starred him. And I remember talking to Bo, and he's like, oh, he's swimming, he's making mistakes. I said, Bo, my man's making 16 tackles, man. Start just – whatever defense is he messing up on, that's the defense you need to call.
Right.
Is Levante go get the ball? That's it. You know, ready, break.
Right.
But I think that through – since Frank has left, I think the missing piece has been – and some of it, obviously, with I-Course is the AD and how that all – how he became AD was just – it was like a day like today and just like, oh, Nebraska has a new AD.
Yeah.
Is the inability to handle – adversity and adjust like on the fly. You can see it in games, but you can see it also in administration.
Yeah.
So I want to see I wanted to know what you guys think about that, because I think sometimes if you can't do that from, say, like when we had I-Course, right, where there's the disconnection between the AD and the coach, then how can you adjust? Because you're supposed to be able to go to your superior, and then you leave somebody out there in the darkness. So tell me what you guys think about that.
You know, this goes – I was just talking to Sean and both before the air. This has been a hard 2 weeks, man. I mean, and people who are not Nebraska fans just don't understand it. It's like it's just a football. Well, it's not just football to us. Nebraska football is the porch light of our state to the rest of the country. We have no other D1 team here. We have no pro teams in any other sport here. That's why we're so heavily invested in it. And, Jay, you bring up a good point. This goes all the way back to the unceremonious way that Coach Solis was let go. We have not recovered since. Of course, we had those glimmer years. Bo had those. Yeah, those bowl. And the thing about Bo rarely lost to a team in lesser talent. It was either teams that he lost to were equal or better talent than we lost to. He didn't. We did peel one up with McNeese State that time. Yeah. Where Ramirez had that long run. Yeah, but other than that, we didn't have a lot of hiccups. Jay, we're Nebraska right now, and we haven't for a long time. We don't have an identity. We don't have an identity on either side of the ball. And it's regardless of who the coaches were. I mean, we can go from Callahan. We can go from now Bo. We obviously had Deeves, but throw Bo out of it. Callahan had no identity other than we just air the ball out. But we were playing catch up after the game.
Good stats. You get those are empty stats.
Yeah, those are empty stats. When people say against when KU hung 70 or something like that.
But you got to remember that was the defense's fault.
Right? Yeah,
the offense was Callahan always had good offense.
Right. And we just it was either one or the other. We couldn't just get them all on the same page. Yeah, mesh.
Well, and Cosgrove like had it figured out in 06 with Stu Bradley, Jay Moore, and Carricker. I mean, that was a good defense.
That was a great defense.
And then the next year, those guys were gone. Right. And you know, they weren't built for it. And the Big 12 had that record year that year. And his scheme was not ready for the Big 12 07.
Sure. Right, but see, you're making my point right there. The ability to adjust to your talent is a hidden gem with coaches. And here's why. If you watch Alabama this year, against Texas, they struggled a little bit. And one of the biggest things that people don't understand is what really took – well, Nick Saban did two things. He went from a run-run heavy offense, just beat you up with multiple backs, and then he brought in Sark and Lane Kiffin to get a little bit of spread into it.
Right.
Didn't miss his principles, but he has the ability to do that. Then Sark and those other coaches brought in the vertical passing game. So now he can take his offense and his team anywhere. The thing that they're missing this year is somebody to take the top off. So now Nick Saban even said, if you kind of listen to him or listen between the coach speak, they're still trying to figure out how to be an explosive offense with a new personnel. Mm-hmm. That's why I think what I think is missing at Nebraska, where whether it's offense, defense, you can say a little bit with special teams, but I think, like I said, you take Bo out of it, you can talk about Cosgrove, you can even talk about on the flip side with Callahan, if you know the defense is struggling, then your offense has to change.
Right.
And so I think the ability to adjust is going to be huge, and it's something that you have to embrace. It's almost like you go your main game plan in the left pocket, your backup in the right pocket, and the two back pockets you got emergency.
A little mixture of everything.
Yeah.
Sean, let me ask you this. We'll bring it back to 2 weeks ago. When did you get the call there was going to be a press conference?
Noon. I had about 30 minutes heads up before it actually came out. I knew.
Take us through that day, if you would.
I went to church at 9:30, and
did you say a prayer for some of the coaches? Dear Lord, I hope they make it to Monday.
Priest Father Broviak, and I walked in and said, "It's going to be an interesting day, Father." And
did you say, "Hey, can I get a couple holy water so I go sprinkle on some of these coaches because they need it?"
But then there was somebody I knew in there that was close to Frost at the same church service, and that person I saw leave early, and people don't usually leave early, and I'm like, huh.
Yeah, unless they got to go to the bathroom, unless there's an emergency. Yeah.
And I said, this is interesting. And then I heard some things about a meeting and things happening. But it happened, yeah. Just there's no easy way to do it.
Right.
I mean, and the way how it all went down. And I think we were so caught up in that $7.5 million buyout change in October 1st. But, I thought about it more. Big Noon Kickoff was here last week. How could you, with a straight face, have rolled Scott Frost out there and say, go talk to Joel Klatt and Gus Johnson and Urban Meyer and Leinart and Bush and act like you're going to be
wrong.
Nothing's wrong. I mean, I just don't think that would have played out very well. And that's worth to me a lot more than $7.5 million to kind of turn the page and, granted, the game didn't go very well for Nebraska.
But it changed the narrative.
Yeah.
It changed the narrative.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And if that would have been Scott Frost's game, that would have been.
It would have been all over him and the focus of that.
And the stadium would have been nasty.
Right.
Oh, it would have been ruthless.
So, hey, Sean, I always wanted to ask, so when things like this happen, obviously with Frost or Shenander or even prior like Mike Riley and all that stuff, are you like a doctor that's on call? You could be with your wife and kids. And
pretty much.
Yeah, you could be at the Lincoln Zoo. You're like, hey, honey, hey, Uber home.
So I went in the office like right away the last two Sundays, like go to church, go right in the office, and I'm the one that calls Sipple and Robin Washed, and I'm like, Sip, Frost is getting fired. Like, get down to the office now. And Sipple's like, what? We're hearing that. I go, just trust me. Get down here right now,
so, trust me.
Those are the hardest days on this job is, like, when you don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
And, when Mike Riley got fired on the day after Black Friday, we're going to get down there and we know he's going to get fired.
That was coming.
Yeah. Bob Diaco,
Bill Callahan.
Yeah.
When I remember about Bill Callahan, they played on Friday in Colorado. It was like a 10 a.m. kick because of the mountain kick time out there. So we all flew back, and then I was back at Memorial Stadium like 6 or 7 in the morning, and Osborne fired him like at 7 in the morning, and he drove off, and then that was it.
Good morning.
Yeah, it was
a wrap.
We've been through too many of these things. I mean, the Bo one, I always was told that Bo, when he went to meet with I-Corps, say this one, they went 9 wins. Yeah. He didn't think he was going to get fired. He thought it was kind of like, hey, let's figure this out meeting. And then he's like, no, we're not figuring this out. I'm making a move on you right now.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's what really, I guess, quote-unquote, set Bo off. Now, I will say this about that situation. I know when Bo wanted some support, it wasn't there from I-Corps.
Yeah, he was going to get two recruiting staff hires, right?
Right. Yeah, or supposed to. And then it kind of – he kept dangling it out there,
right,
pulling it back, dangling out there.
But you won't get to pick these hires.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so then, you know, it's kind of like I'm helping you, but I'm really hurting you at the same time. So, you know, I think right now, you know, I wanted to ask what your feeling is. You know, how does something like this affect recruiting, you know, moving forward? As Mickey said, they're operating as they're going to be here, and they're going to leave the place in a better place than they found it.
It's challenging with recruiting right
now.
You know, the coaches will go on the road this week. Now, you can't make in-home visits right now or anything like that. You know, the only time coaches can go in the living room is starting the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and you get about 2 or 3 weeks in December and then about 2 weeks in January where you can visit seniors in the home. And that's it.
That's it.
So, like, Dylan Raiola never could have been visited by Scott Frost or, you know, like, in the home because of the recruiting rules that were out there.
Right.
So, like, there, you know, like, this – right now you'll go to these games and you could bump into a guy and say, hey, what's up, Jay?
Yeah.
Good job, Jay.
Yeah.
And that's what you're allowed
to
do. That's technically –
or you can sit there and stare at him. Is he really 6'2"? What do you think, AD? He looks about 6'1.5". Sean, what do you think?
Meanwhile, this kid's 6'4". Going stranger danger. Yeah. Who is this staring at me?
So they'll go out to a few games. I think I'm guessing Barrett or somebody's going to go out to watch that tight end from Ainsworth. He's a 2024. Mm-hmm. He's got like Wisconsin and Iowa and Nebraska.
He's a big kid.
He's playing in Chambers on Thursday. So I bet they'll have someone there. Pierce, Nebraska, they've not gone up and seen him yet.
Okay.
And then Mickey's going to go down to Louisiana and go see.
I think Monroe, New Orleans is where he's heading, right?
Yeah, Moreno plays Monroe. Or trying to think. A.J. Allen's high school plays Omarion Miller's high school. So hopefully maybe he can run into some people with A.J. Allen, too, because, you know, we were talking about this. Like, a guy like A.J. Allen, he's played 4 great games. He's now hurt for the year. How many DMs do you think he's going to be getting?
Oh, yeah.
Depends on – Zappa White's still here. I think he's pretty good. I think that here's the thing that people don't understand, and this is what these young kids need to understand. If Mickey recruited you and you have a good relationship with Applewhite and Applewhite's here, you need to stay here. Yeah, you get the DMs, but you're still going to go somewhere else and have to compete.
And start over
and
again.
And 4 games isn't nothing. That's tiddly poo. But he's played well enough to do it, but at the end of the day, you know, you got to kind of pump the brakes. It's always nice to be wanted, okay? But it's also better to be appreciated. And you want a relationship with the coach, and you're going to start over. I'm sure, you know, people are going to try to, you know, poach off the roster. But that's why it's going to be so huge for these next 8 games, in my opinion.
Well,
you're going to get a good evaluation of Mickey if he can do the job long term. And you're going to get a good evaluation of the other coaches as well if there's a potential other head coach.
Right.
So there's 2 dates to watch here. Number 1, December 5th.
Right.
That's the first day the portal opens. That's opening day of deer hunting season.
Right. You know, it's called Sean, we renamed it the Vortex. It's like the Vortex off of Star Wars. You know, when you go into warp speed, that's it. You instantly go into warp speed into the unknown, and who knows if you come out the other end.
Mm.
That's what it is.
That day is going to be nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, like the Twitter – tweet updates and roster updates,
right?
But then you technically have 30 days from when your coach is fired to enter the portal. So Nebraska players
could enter the portal in a couple weeks.
Still have about 2 weeks to go in the portal if they want to. But what does it matter?
Yeah, right now. Yeah. But the 5th is when it opens up to everybody.
Yeah, and that's and then the other thing you got to wonder: how many guys at game 4 that have a red shirt could say, I'm going to red shirt now and sit out. Is that something to think?
You mean freshman?
Or any player that maybe hasn't redshirted in their career.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's something, you know, that could be out there. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's something to watch next week.
Because they have them until basically next week, the next
Indiana game.
And they can make that decision.
And they can say, Coach, I'm going to redshirt now. I'm going to kind of.
But Nebraska already played 4 games, though.
Yeah, after 4. So you can play 4.
Okay, but they've already played 4.
Right, so that's the cutoff.
That's it. So they can't play another game. So this off week doesn't count. But I'm saying that they can't if they can't play the Indiana game.
Yeah,
it's off the books.
I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot of what ifs, and we'll get into this next segment. We got 3 more minutes, but you know, how important it is it to keep your best recruiters on a staff, regardless if you're, you know, the incumbent with Nikki, or if Mickey, you know, keeps, you know, the job and the head coach for the foreseeable future, or a new coach. How important is that?
I think with just the roster management that's going to have to go on to retain players, you're going to have to keep probably 1 to 3 coaches.
Right. For sure that first year, right?
I mean, Mickey, Applewhite, Bush are the main priority guys. I mean, Ryle possibly. But, you know, like it just depends on who you hire and right. what they want.
Yeah.
But I think 1 or 2 have to be kept.
Just or you're starting over.
Otherwise, you could have 40 guys go on the portal.
Right. And that pretty much you're done. You're almost like on
– You're starting at ground zero
yeah,
at that point.
You're pretty much on, you know, like SMU. You're just starting – your roster is gutted. And real short, here's why I always wanted to ask you this, is how big of a crapshoot is it getting a guy out of the portal or from high school? Because it seems to me everybody thinks the portal is like you're getting a bunch of gems, but it looks like you're getting a bunch of, like, fool's gold, you know, coming out of there. Because there's always something deeper than why you're in the portal majority of the time.
And you find out later because you lift up the hood and kind of like, wait a minute, I didn't see this before you got here.
Right. Like, look at A.J. Allen, high school guy. I mean, if you can find that kind of guy. And Anthony Grant was a JUCO guy that nobody wanted.
Right.
Because he was at, what, New Mexico's military?
Well, he went to Florida State.
Right.
And his mother passed away and had to step away and deal with his personal, just what he was battling.
Absolutely.
And then went to Garden City.
Yeah.
Had to leave there, goes to New Mexico military, mm-hmm. won the National Player of the Year. It was between us and, like, Arkansas State.
Oh, wow.
And so there was no, they didn't even have to use NIL to get Anthony Grant here.
Right.
It was just a guy that needed, you know, like, a spot opened up. And I think Steve Cooper, the GA or analyst, was the one that stood on the table for him. So, mm-hmm. you know, think about where this team would be without those two guys.
Right.
Brian Applewhite brought A.J. Allen, and Steve Cooper brought in Anthony Grant.
Right.
Because Allen was committed to TCU first,
right.
wasn't he? And he made that move after Applewhite came up here. Correct?
And I know when they were looking at the running backs coach, they really wanted a guy that could bring somebody with him, a player. And then that was A.J. Allen. And he's probably the best high school guy they added to the roster. Mm-hmm.
Right. But, you know, as far as, like, you know, again, like the recruiting, in your experience or what you hear, what's more appealing to coaching staffs, recruiting? Because you hear some coaching staffs like, oh, I just love the portal because they view it as easier. There might be some tape. Or do you think coaches want to get a high school guy that maybe they can kind of really develop?
Well, I think if you're Brent Venables at Oklahoma, he knows he's got lots of time right now. He's going primarily high school. He's taking the Dabo Swinney approach.
Right.
He wants to build.
But here, where you have a gun to your head right now, like mm-hmm. it's like – and you had some recruiting misses and developmental misses and other things happen. That's why Nebraska had to do what they did. And it was a big-time boom or bust strategy, as we as we now know. I mean, they added some – Casey Thompson's a good player.
Yeah.
Right.
Trey Palmer.
Absolutely.
Marcus Washington, good players.
IGC.
But on defense, O'Shawn hasn't done what you would think. I'm not saying he's a bad player. He just hasn't done what you would think.
But what was the thought of he was going to do?
Well, he had 10 sacks in the Big 12. So you thought that he could get
like
to a quarter.
2 years ago, right? Well, what did he do last year?
4, right?
Right. So it's, I always add 1 or 10 plus 4. 7 is the max.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? And he could see. Now, you ain't getting many pass rush attempts when you're down 35 points.
Right.
You know, and so there's a lot that goes to it as well.
Tommy Hill, I thought, was going to be better. I mean, I think we all did. Travis Fisher, for him. Travis Fisher, on the record, said that if Tommy Hill plays with potential, his name could be on this stadium someday.
Right.
And T. Fish doesn't typically say
so. Yeah.
He's pretty reserved. Yeah, he's pretty reserved.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I usually didn't like to deal with what ifs, you know, because those are that's like a lot of potential. So that's the first segment down. We are going to break. Old school with Sean Callahan and Aaron Davis. We're going to come back and we're going to dive into a little bit more of in-state recruiting versus the 500-mile radius and national recruiting. We'll be back.
You're listening to Old School with DP and Jay. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.